So as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, the word of the day is resurrection or new life. Or Ezekiel doesn't use that word resurrection, just gives us this lovely picture, very graphic picture of how death is so final and complete. Whole valley full of dry bones, not just corpses, not just bones, scattered dry bones. And then this picture of how God asked the prophet to prophesy, and the bones sort of skittering across the valley, finding their natural place. And it's just, you know, it's, I think, a fascinating picture. Gives us some handholds on this whole idea of resurrection. And that's, of course, our challenge. The resurrection is such a, well, let's face it, it's outside of human experience. Other things that the scriptures talk about, even love, we have some sense of what love looks like. Something completely dead, past dead, and then dead again, and then seeing that come back to life is something that very few of us have experienced, even metaphorically. Although that's precisely what the gospel is claiming. You may realize that there is a present tense, I am the resurrection and the life, says Jesus 2,000 years ago. We have a tendency to think of there will be a resurrection, and that's part of, you know, John is helping us think this through, because Martha has this perspective of, yeah, well, I know someday. And Jesus said, no, not someday, I am. And again, this is the third Sunday we've heard these passages from John. We see how John uses something that people can understand at a literal level to take them into a deeper spiritual truth, and how people misunderstand, right? Living water, well, I want water so I don't thirst. Give me that water. He's like, yeah, okay, you're not quite getting it. This water, of course, means you'll never have to drink again. Or Nicodemus, how does an old man go back and get born again? Like, that's just crazy talk. And so the truths are entered into spiritually. But what we need to realize today is that resurrection and life is a present reality that we're invited into. Martha shows us the misunderstanding even of a devout religious believer. We have faith and confidence in God that someday we will share in the glory and the beauty and the triumph and that life beyond the grave. And Jesus says, no, the one who believes in me will never die. Well, even if they die, they're really not dead. They will live. So we know we can't take that literally. And besides, when you get as old as I am, you know you don't want to live forever anyways. Not in this state. We're looking for something better, right? Anybody over 60, say praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying? We're looking for something better. Yeah, you young uns, live it up. Enjoy it while you can. So that's the task for us, though, is to begin to make sense of this very abstract theme, this idea that really we don't have a lot of connection with. Make sense of it not as something that, well, we'll figure it out when we get there, but make sense of it in terms of today, because that's what John is trying to say. No, this is something that we enter into. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And Martha demonstrates this inability to sort of say yes to that, even though she says yes to Jesus. I believe you are the Christ, the coming one. And so later, when Jesus says, remove the stone, Martha's saying, Jesus, wait a minute. He's been dead 4 days now. Hot weather. Dead body. You know what that looks like. You know what that smells like. And Jesus says, Martha, we had this conversation. I told you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Of course, this is one of the temptations or challenges for us. We can run with that one. We can say, well, Jesus, that's great. You'll just bring things back to life. I'll just run around pronouncing life, you know, over anything and everything. Like my house plant. Behold, live, you know. Not going to happen. That's not the point again. That's to over-literalize this. And so it's hard for us to enter this truth of resurrection. We either want to make it something that's going to be on command. Let's say later Martha learned her lesson, and Lazarus dies again because he's an old man. She's like, yeah, we know that's not the end of the story. Lazarus, come forth. And it's like, no. God's not in it at this point. That's not the point. Is that we're going to blow through life completely smashing apart any obstacles or any challenges. That's not the point. That's not what resurrection looks like. So Paul gives us in Romans 8, and if you're at all sort of invited into this, if your heart is warming to this topic, to use Wesley's language, go read Romans 8, and you probably want to go back and read Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. But Paul gives us some very practical and tangible instructions. How do you access this tremendous claim that today, when Jesus says, I am resurrection and life, that he invites us today into that? Sorry, before I go there, to Romans. John, in his gospel, chapter 17, where Jesus is praying, Jesus says this, this is life eternal, that they may know you, God, and the one that you sent. Today, present tense, eternal life is not something you're waiting for, something beyond the grave, although there is that part of it, as Scripture teaches. Eternal life is a present privilege and heritage, a prerogative, that you have as a child of God. As Paul says in Romans 8, you have the Spirit. You aren't in the flesh. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you are not part of Christ. So the practical teaching. Here's the practical teaching. Paul says, those who live according to the flesh have set their mind on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the flesh are like Martha. They look at the situation and say, here's a tomb. It's been sealed for 4 days. We've got a corpse inside that's been dead 4 days. We're not taking the stone away. That's that. That's walking according to the flesh. That's all the potentials. We've factored in all the wonderful things that could happen, and none of them pertain to this situation. We know it's hopeless. That's Ezekiel looking at a valley of bones, dry, bleached by the sun, scattered. And God says, got a question for you, Ezekiel. Can these bones be made to live again? He's like, yeah, well, you know, God, I'm not going there. You got me last time on one of those questions. I'm not going there this time. Humanly, it's done. But Paul says there's another option. Those who live according to the Spirit have set their mind on the things of the Spirit. Now, let me be clear. This is not a name it and claim it gospel. You do not get to choose what resurrection life looks like. Your choice is to follow the Spirit. This is what Jesus says. God, I thank you that you heard me. I said this. I know you always hear me. I said this so that these people know that I'm doing what you would have me do. Jesus himself did not act according to his own lights. He didn't just walk around healing dead people. He responded to what God was doing. He followed the Spirit. And this is how you and I participate in resurrection life today. Not by being some sort of miracle workers, but by following the Spirit and saying no to that part of you that says no to what's possible. Beginning to identify when you're living according to the flesh. What does it mean to live according to the flesh? You look at things and you know what's realistic. You're like, don't be crazy. That's never going to happen. And whatever it is. And we spend a lot of time justifying our worries and our anxieties. Yesterday, someone was talking about how, your child is out driving and it's a blizzard, and you're like, oh no, that's going to be crazy. Something bad's going to happen. And you just talk yourself into knowing, something bad's going to happen. And according to the flesh. Instead, we can walk according to the Spirit. In that instance, it might look any number of ways because the Spirit leads. But if nothing else, the Spirit says, I love you and I love your child. Can you trust your child with me? I love you. You're a parent. I love you. I love your child. I love your child more than you love your child. Can you trust your child with me? That's walking in the Spirit. That's not a human thing to do, right? Parents, you know that? Worrying is the best way to take care of your children, isn't it? If you're not worrying, you don't really love them. Obviously. And then God says, can you trust me with your child? There's many ways that this shapes out practically. Again, you aren't in control of this. Do you suppose that Jesus himself would have, from this day, gone, set his face towards Jerusalem, and suffered indignity and shame and the humiliation of being betrayed by his best friends and the desertion of God and wrestled deeply so that he sweated blood in prayer over the will of the Father and his own will? Do you suppose that he would have done that if he could just choose his own path? If he could say, well, I'm in the Spirit, I can just do whatever. I'll just blow this stuff out of the water. That's not resurrection power. That's a caricature. Well, that's in fact very human and very natural, isn't it? Very fleshly. To want to just boom, blow things away, walk through. Like the last hero, you know, the big ball of flame and you walk out. Sorry, that's a man image. Think Rambo, First Blood. You know, that's a guy image. You girls probably don't get too excited about that kind of image. Anyway, that's not resurrection. That's resurrection. That a man, a human, could give their life in love on behalf of others. So you don't get to choose what resurrection looks like, but you can choose to limit yourself to the death and decay of human possibility by walking according to the flesh, setting your mind, your attitudes, your vision, your sense of what's possible according to human terms and human possibilities, or you can say yes to the great yes of God in Jesus Christ. And you can take up your own cross and follow him and live in the Spirit, according to the Spirit. Paul's life demonstrates this, right? His resume says, yeah, you know, I was kicked out of town, I was beaten, I was left for dead, I was shipwrecked, that's resurrection life. This is why, of course, churches aren't full to the brim. All this glory, all this power has a bit of a catch to it. And the catch is that you say no to you and yes to him. Practice that daily, moment by moment. No to you, yes to him. Today, you will live eternal life. Resurrection and life, says Jesus. I am, present tense, continuing. Resurrection and life. Do you believe this? Then you will see the glory of God. The glory that comes through a love that gives itself on behalf of others. You too can join that glory train. Amen.